What's the name of the podcast, Ethan?
I don't fucking know.
Yeah, it's not comedy.
It's not going to be a podcast. It's going to be a fucking train wreck.
I wouldn't say that.
Fuck yeah. Welcome to How to Not Comedy. Rodney Owen, thanks for coming on, mate.
Thanks for having me, guys. This is awesome. I've been listening to this podcast for a while now, so I'm like, wow, I'm here, Roman.
Oh, really? Yeah, that's awesome.
Is it everything you expected, or less?
No, it's definitely not less. It's definitely more than what you expect. Sort of listening, it's sort of sometimes it sounds like, you know, it's just
ghetto.
Couple of guys sitting in a dodgy room somewhere with dodgy mics. But no, this is good.
That's how it started. Yeah. How long have you been listening? Because you're probably listening back when it was that in my parents' bedroom.
And I've gone back and I've listened to past episodes as well. So I've probably been listening for about a year now, I think.
Yeah, wow.
We're trying to make this thing more professional. We've got the club now, which is good. Thanks to Newcastle Comedy Club fucking having us. Good guys.
Yeah, no, it's a great club. I was here a couple of weeks ago and was really impressed with the setup here. You know, it's a good place, good vibe.
Yeah, man. The crowds we get here are just fucking insane.
Yeah.
I've said it before, I'll say it again. Like, you do not get crowds anywhere as good as what you get at, like, in Newcastle for open mics.
Yeah, there was, like, 40 people for an open mic on a Tuesday.
It must happen in
Sydney, you know?
Nah, doesn't.
Yeah.
It makes me worry, though. It's like, how long is that going to sustain itself? But it's been a year, and it's still, you're getting 40 people in.
Yeah, it's gotten more consistent. It's fucking awesome. They've changed up the open mic format a little bit here as well.
It used to just be come up. Anyone could come up and do a spot, but then there was too many comics coming on, so had to cut that one back a bit.
Yeah, because you'd be fucking hosting here. Like, when I was hosting every week, I'd be here till, like, fucking some nights, like, 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Like, just like, holy shit. This is fucked, man. Got to get up tomorrow.
Yeah. It was back when we were working for tips, too.
Yeah.
You're like, fuck.
Yeah.
Just put in so many hours.
Yeah. At the end of the night, being like, can you please give me money? Just like, and then people just walk past you, won't make eye contact, just fucking ignore you. It doesn't matter if you killed the whole night, people are just like, fuck you. You're not getting my money.
Well, they're here for a free show, so yeah, it's hard. Definitely. How'd you find the mic, though? I watched a bit of your set. Seemed like you were doing pretty well.
Yeah, no, it was really good. I didn't know, you know, when you go to a new place, you don't know how the crowd's going to take it, especially sort of out of area. You don't know if the joke's going to land or whatever. Yeah. Are they gonna love it? Are they gonna hate it? But no, they seemed really supportive. So it was good. I felt really good coming up here, and yeah, I'll come back again.
Yeah, yeah. Well, now you know how to sign up.
Yes.
You nearly rocked up and didn't get a spot.
I know. It's like, yeah. I didn't know. I just assumed it was everyone.
Sign up on the night.
Yeah, sign up on the night.
Yeah.
I didn't look very hard for information. I just had that assumption.
Yeah.
So I came up, but thankfully.
You could have just said you were Mitch Coyne. That would have put you on.
Yeah. Well, they were making jokes at the end. They're like, that's Mitch in 10 years.
I'm seeing double.
No,
it was good. But, you went to James and said, look, he's come from Sydney. Can we get him on? So thank you so much for that. I appreciate it.
Nah, it's all right. Yeah. I was just like, I know what it's like when you rock up somewhere and you think it's going to be okay, and then there's a whole new fucking setup and you're like, oh, fuck.
That is your move.
Like, it's 100% my move. That's why I was like, straight up, I was like, oh, I'll go talk to James for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been there before.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm that guy.
Yeah, I would assume.
Yeah. You had a good set, though. Me and Ethan were up the back and we peeked around the door, watched your set, both looked at each other, went, not bad. And then Ethan went, fuck, we're jaded cunts.
I'll take a not bad. I'll take a not bad. No.
Yeah.
That was a set I was I'd been practicing for my Raw set.
Yeah.
So it was good to sort of come and do it in an area where people hadn't heard it before.
Yeah.
So that
in
was
in front of
was
a really proper good. Crowd too as
yeah,
well. So
exactly.
You can actually get real feedback.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I did see online you did Raw. How'd you go?
I felt I did all right.
Yeah.
I was the very first one on. Everyone's
saying that's the
tough spot. Everyone's saying
even if you fucking kill, Even if you have the set of the night, you probably won't get through.
Yeah, they're going to remember it.
Yeah.
Towards the end. Exactly. That's a tough one.
The audience laughed where they were supposed to. Some jokes got small laughs than I expected, which is, you know, it's all right. But yeah, ultimately I didn't get through, which is a shame, but it is what it is.
So you just did the one round but didn't progress through, or?
No, I haven't. I didn't come first or second, so I'm not through.
Yeah.
But I could still get a wild card. I doubt it, but there's still an option. They said, you'll probably find out in a few weeks, so I'll just see. But no, it was my first Raw, so that was also good to...
Yeah.
Done as well.
Yeah. Well, dude, like, how often do you get an opportunity to do the Comedy Store?
Exactly. That was, like, really cool.
Yeah.
That was really good doing the Comedy Store.
And they would have packed that out too, I'd imagine. Big crowd.
Yeah, probably about 100 people or so. Yeah, obviously, nice. It can fit a lot more. So when you compare it to, you know, how many other chairs are around, you go, oh, okay, it could look small, but it's actually quite a big crowd.
Yeah.
So it was good.
Nice.
Yeah.
I don't know how many they got over, because our heat was last
night. Yeah.
Were you guys in that, or?
No,
I was working here. But Maddie got through. Maddie Weinstein, she's like a local comic. Had her on last week, so congrats to Maddie, because
she was sitting here the whole time.
Like, this is fucking not going to be good.
Yeah, I'm going to fucking suck. I'm going to bomb. She was all down on herself, and I was like, Maddie, I think you're underselling yourself here. I think you and her and Brooke had a really, really good chance.
Yeah.
I said of the favourites, I'd say you two were there. So I messaged her this morning and I said, told you had nothing to fucking worry about.
Now she has more to worry about.
Yeah, I know. Now she's actually got pressure.
Yeah, now the actual stress begins.
Yeah.
Poor Maddie.
Yeah. But I mean, like, she's being looked after here. Obviously, her boyfriend's one of the co-owners. But James, the guys would do that for anyone if they asked. So she's been doing spots here, you know. Working pretty hard. James has gotten through in the past as well, so he's able to impart a lot of knowledge and experience about how to prepare for a Raw set and get through. And I think that's, like, the scene around here as well is really supportive. We kind of, like, don't keep secrets from each other. If we can give someone a, like, helping tip or whatever. I know... Lauren was hitting me up, hit you up as well for
didn't
advice.
Help.
No. No.
Should have went to someone else, Lauren. Sorry.
Yeah, I think I said change one of the wordings. I was like, shorten it down a little bit, like, for your punchline. But yeah, look, I think so it was Maddie and I can't remember the name of the other guy. Actually, I messaged him today to try and get him on the pod. Navin. You know Navin, don't you?
I do know Navin, yeah.
Navin, you fucking Navin. Racist. Get it right.
It's not racist not knowing how to pronounce a name.
Yeah. You're supposed to be emceeing.
If I'd have called him that fucking black dude, Navin, like, it would have been a little bit different.
Yeah. He's been around in Sydney a fair bit, hasn't he? He does, like, Lewisham, and I've seen his name.
Yeah, he's only just arrived in Sydney, like, the last sort of month or so. He originally came from Townsville. He was doing some comedy up there.
Not where I would have guessed, but anyway.
No. No.
That's racist. That's racist.
Where did you come from?
Yeah. Like,
not allowed to ask that.
No. Nah.
So he was doing comedy in Townsville? Or?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did some comedy in Townsville, and he's moved to Sydney, and yeah, he's just started in the scene now. I've been seeing him around for a bit. He actually came to my Raw set, and he actually filmed it for me. So he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
It was, you know... Because I saw a photo of the two winners, I'm like, and I sent him a message. I'm like, holy fucking shit, you came second? Like, what the hell? And I think he was, you know, surprised as well. He's like, I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah. Well, Raw does tick a lot of boxes. We know that.
Yeah.
Here in Newcastle, there's not a lot of variety. It's like eight white guys and...
A crazy lady.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the VIP.
Yeah, usually some bloke you just fucking drove from Port Macquarie or some fucking crazy town up north.
You've got one heat to get through. That's it. There's one show. Because in Sydney there's a bunch of heats, isn't there?
Yeah, there's six.
Yeah,
six fun. This year.
Yeah.
And then there's, at least in my heat, there was 17 people performing on the night. How many people did you have perform in the heat?
It was 14.
Not a lot.
No, but we don't have a large comedy scene here.
Yeah.
Which is good. in my opinion.
Yeah, could be better.
Yeah, more, I know. Like, Ronan's dragging the chain, obviously, but...
He was upset.
You know, he's dropping the average down for us, but...
He was blowing up this morning on the chat. Just being like, fucking someone from... wasn't even from Newcastle and he got through. I'm like, who cares? Couldn't give a shit. He's from Townsville.
Yeah.
Like, here or Sydney, like, it's the same to him.
Well, yeah. I want to bring him on. Navin, if you're listening, this is an open invitation. If you don't get my message, please come on the podcast because I want to talk to him. I want to chat to him about his experience, and I want to find out why he came to Newcastle versus did a heat in Sydney, because obviously it's a small scene here, and we haven't got a lot of opportunities to do shows like that.
Yeah,
and we certainly don't have a lot of heats, and so. Mm. When you see someone from Sydney who could be competing in Sydney come to Newcastle, it could look like, you know, you're trying to avoid competition. You go to a small town.
Yeah, no, I see what you mean. I actually know the reason why he did come to Newcastle.
Perfect.
And, you know, nothing like that. But I don't want to speak for him. If you want to have him on and ask him
yourself,
that's fine. I'll have a word.
I gave him the benefit of the doubt. I went into bat for him. I was like, we don't know what happened. I said he might have had his heat moved from Sydney because there wasn't enough people. There could have been a million things.
Mm. Well, but also, you have your second preference, don't you?
That's right.
You actually get three preferences.
Yeah.
There you go.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, exactly. Hopefully he comes on. We can have a chat to him. I'd like to meet him.
I'll
have a word
to him.
Yeah, he's apparently he had the set of the night as well.
Yeah.
So that's what everyone was saying. He fucking destroyed. So, yeah. All right. So with your set as well, so it's 5 minutes. You said the crowd was pretty good, but you didn't get the kind of reactions you were after.
Oh, just some of the jokes. Some go, oh, that usually gets something bigger or something like that. I think you get that everywhere, you know.
Sometimes I find, like, it's weird. Sometimes you'll get crowds laughing because they're just in line with your cadence of delivery. Mm. And sometimes it's the opposite. They get out of line. Do you think it had anything to do with that?
Look, it's sort of all a blur. And I haven't actually gone back to watch the video yet or anything. So to be honest, I can't actually say. Maybe they just weren't into the joke, or maybe it was just still too early. Not warmed up enough.
Yeah, man, you're going on first. You're going to take some bullets for sure.
So I think next time try and get on a bit later.
Bit of a stitch up, but
Wow. You know, someone's got to go first.
Is it the first time you've done Raw as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's all right. So I've got two more goes at it, which is fine.
Really, honestly. You probably got more. You'll probably be right. You just keep signing up. Just do a goxy.
I'll just put a moustache on and sign up under a different name.
Yeah.
My name's Guy Incognito.
Yeah.
How many times did Goxy do it?
Like five before I got through.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Mad. Just call yourself Owen Rodney.
That's right.
They just put him through, so they just stop signing up. We're going to put you through, so you fuck off.
Yeah, exactly. I actually had someone... The first year we were doing comedy, everyone was talking about Raw, and they were saying apparently that's what used to happen. Like, you'd get, like, the experienced comedians who they're just like, all right, you've done it 3 years. We'll let you through.
Yeah, okay.
I don't think that's the case anymore.
Yeah.
I think they're after a little – the criteria has changed between now and when those people were talking about it.
Right.
So who won your heat? Do you know?
So Riv Narak, I don't know if you guys know him.
Yeah, I know Riv. Yeah.
He came second.
Nice.
And Hamish Shepherd, he came first.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. Hamish got through last year as well.
Yeah, he did. He did. So, yeah, so they both had really good sets. And there were a couple other people there who were also really good. It could have been, you know, really close. It could have been them. It could have been these guys. But, yeah, they had really good sets. They receive well, so yeah, they deserve to go through.
Yeah. Riv's been doing really well lately. I saw him at Skinner did a gig that was like the open mic for ID Comedy, and he crushed it there.
Yeah.
Had a really good set. So, yeah. He'll be getting some more gigs for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, we should be getting more of you guys up to here to do the showcases, I reckon, on the Fridays and Saturdays, because it's a good show.
And, yeah.
Yeah. it's not too far from Sydney, just make the trek up. I did a gig down in Sydney. I did the, what's it called, Shrimo's Bar?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I did that one, and that was a weird one. It was like a young crowd.
Yeah, it's
backpackers.
Yeah, because it's all backpackers. You don't know where they're from. Some of the jokes they get, some of them they don't. I've done it twice now.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's a good room. Again, they sort of pack a lot of people in there on a Thursday night, which is really good, but some of them just, I don't think, get some of the jokes, but that's all right.
Yeah. I think someone like Kyle Legacy would absolutely crush that room.
Yeah.
Done comedy everywhere and you can just riff it. I think that's what you have to do in that room, is just try and fucking be loose and not do too many references to things that they're not going to get.
Yeah,
not anything local or like anything too Australian. They're just like, oh, fuck, I don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah,
what the fuck is this? I fucking bombed my dick off there. It was shit. I had him for a bit and then I just went too hard and they were like, nah, we're not fucking having this.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, fair enough. See us.
Yeah.
And then I went and did Seizure's Room at the Laugh In.
Yeah.
Which has gone through some shit lately.
Yeah, it has. Crap.
They got a noise complaint.
I heard about that, yeah.
They fucking shut that one down. Well, they moved it temporarily, but we'll fucking see what happens with that. Mm. It's a bit of a pain in the ass because that was good.
Yeah, it
I'm
was
glad
good.
I got on to do it before all this shit happened.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, so it's like sign up on the night, name in a bucket. If it goes on too long, they just cut it off at 11:30.
Yeah.
Because it was such a good room. Like, everyone was going and doing it. But I had a great set there. That was, yeah.
Yeah.
It was sweet.
So, is there a crowd there?
There was a little bit of crowd left. By the time I got on, it was super late.
Yeah.
So, there wasn't many people left. But still did all right.
At the beginning of that open mic, well, it starts at 9 as well on a Thursday. So, that's still, you know, pretty late. But there's usually a big crowd there. But as it gets later, it just starts to dwindle down. I did the open mic there a couple of times. Fortunately, I wasn't on too late.
Yeah.
So I still had some crowd, but yeah, as it goes on, just less and less people.
It gets pretty dire.
Yeah.
But that's still fun.
Yeah.
I like doing rooms like that at the end of the night where there's barely any people left, and you're just like, fuck, you guys are sticking it out. You're ready to hear some shit.
Yeah, it's almost like the 2 a.m. slots at the Comedy Store in LA or something.
Yeah.
You know, you hear about those and people are not getting on until 2 o'clock, and there's like only a few people left.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. It felt a bit like that. But those people that are left, they're fucking diehard. They will listen to you, and they're probably half. Well, most of them are drunk as fuck by that time.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was good. I was going to go do it again this week, but I've got work on, so I can't make it down. I'm going to have to message Shrimo or whoever runs Shrimo's. What's his name? Can't remember. Shawn Michaels?
Yeah.
Got to message him. I can't do it, sorry. You can go down if you want, Mitch.
What day?
It's Thursday. Thursday, yeah.
Fucking big ask if I've got to get up at 6 the next morning.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck, that's a rough one.
Yeah.
Yeah, getting up at 6.
Yeah, I'd love to go do more gigs in Sydney, but it's challenging for me because I'm already 45 minutes north of Newcastle.
Yeah.
So it's like 2.5 hours, sometimes 3 if it's like right in the CBD.
Yeah, brutal.
Parking, all of that. So it's a bit of a nightmare.
Mm.
Whereas what we should do is pull our fingers out and just start doing fucking group trips down. Get a bunch of us.
I thought you were going to say start rooms up here. That'd be fucking easier.
Yeah, that would be
start
easier.
Start more open mics up here.
Yeah.
Why the fuck are we getting in a car?
Yeah.
And travelling 4 hours to fucking the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
For $200.
Yeah, or free. We've fucking been signed up for... We got signed up for a gig in Campbelltown, April 14th.
Yeah.
We tentatively signed up.
Yeah.
And...
Breaking Comedy.
Breaking Comedy.
That's another good room. I did it last year, but I've also been there to watch a number of times
because
I work just down the street from the venue.
Yeah.
Right. So I've been a few times. It's a really good, really good room. Always really packed.
Yeah.
Because it's a beer shed, they've been drinking and everything too. So yeah.
Yeah.
I got my first heckle there. So there we go.
Yeah. Okay. What'd they do?
Yeah.
Well, I was wearing this jumper with like this sort of. Sort of pattern on it. It looks like this old, old grandpa jumper. And I got on and I started the setup to my first joke. I said, last time I did this, it didn't go so well. And the guy sitting right there goes, why were you wearing that jumper? It threw me. I wasn't expecting it. So I think I got a bit defensive. And I looked at him and I'm thinking, you've got the height to heckle this jumper when you're wearing that shirt? Yeah. What the hell?
Yeah.
It was just as bad as my shirt. So yeah.
Yeah, it's weird as well. How long have you been doing comedy now?
Just over a year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, December 2021.
Yeah, so pretty early in.
Hmm.
Yeah. Do you do much crowd work at all?
Crowd work in terms of, you know, what do you do, that sort of thing? Not a lot. Crowd work in terms of asking questions to the audience and having them sort of respond, yeah, you know, that sort of thing. I do
like
a bit
open
of that.
Sort of questions. Like,
yeah. I sort of generally stick pretty close to what I've prepared.
Yeah.
That's
100% what you should do as well.
Mm.
Like, yeah. Yeah, it's... year in, 100%. Yeah, I remember early on, if someone fucking heckled me, I'd just agree with them. Yeah. Just like, yes. I got heckled by like a 70-year-old lady one night. She's like, is all you talk about is sex? And I was like, pretty much. I was like, I've got some COVID material. Do you want to hear that?
Yeah.
Yeah, called Victorians retards, upset her even more, and then fucking got off stage. Yeah, that was at the Wicco.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
May it rest in peace.
Yeah.
That room.
Yeah.
That was one of the brutal ones.
Yeah. It had some nights, though. There was, like, it's like every open mic. Oh, yeah, and you should have been here that month. Dude, that 3 weeks where everyone just decided that they like comedy at the Wicco, that was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like the Crown and Anchor, another room that can fucking rest in peace. It was like this weird... The Crown and Anchor was always notoriously this room where you just went to eat your fucking dick. Like,
yeah.
It didn't matter what you said, how good you were. and just for like this weird period, right in the middle of winter, the winter before COVID, like the place used to just pack out, they closed the doors. It was like, it was a fucking awesome room for about 3 weeks and then it went to shit again. It was, yeah.
Yeah, that'll happen.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the problem with open mics, is that it's so hard to get the crowd in there. And Sydney struggles with that too, because the bar doesn't give a shit.
Mm.
They're not going to fucking advertise it. And they don't want to pay whoever's running the room enough money to do the advertising themselves. Yeah. So then it's like this vicious cycle of like the room shit, then people don't start showing up, then you got less comics, then that make less variety, only the fucking gig pigs are showing up every week.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then next minute you just got a fucking shit show on your hands and you're like, why the fuck am I doing this? Like, why am I still running this room?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, it's exactly the case. I think if venues actually get behind comedy, it works.
Yeah.
Stag and Hunter's the perfect example. Like, they'll advertise. Eddie's also a fucking, like, she's a menace. Like, she's a fucking, not a menace, she's a legend. Like, she'll, like, get, like, work hard, advertise, do all the stuff to make sure that people are showing up to the shows.
Mm.
A lot
of venues, I think they've got the idea of, oh, we'll just get this comedy in and they can bring the crowd. It's like, well, you gotta help us do that. It's a you know, sort of like a symbiotic relationship. If you help us to get the people in, we're gonna help you because they're gonna buy more food, more drink, more that sort of thing. So you need to look at it like an investment.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And it doesn't have to cost much. Even if you're just slipping, like, you know, a couple hundred bucks a month for Facebook ads, that's nothing. You easily make that back in drinks over a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
That's just drinks from the comics.
Yeah.
Let alone, you know,
most comics buy a beer.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah.
And they buy multiple.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, if we've got alcoholics in the scene as well, they're very lucrative.
Yeah, they buy a lot of drinks.
Yeah. We got a couple of those. Adam Ronan.
Yeah, fucking Adam. I'm living with him now. He's just been a pet. Like,
let's do it. Let's do it. Let's get into it.
He'll listen to this.
Yeah,
anyway,
I know. He's going to be on his way to work listening to this, or at work, being like, that fucking cunt. I'll fucking Naughty Adam, Adam Naughty Ronan start calling him. Yeah.
So I went to bed at like midnight last night, and he's my roommate. So he comes back from the pub at like 2 or something, and he's like, you fucking left the back door open. I'm like, yeah, the back door was left open. And he's like, so anyone could have broken in. I'm like, in the 2 hours that I've been asleep, like, I would have heard them if someone came in the house. Probably. I don't know. I did get blackout drunk on Wednesday, though. So there is that. Maybe that was in the back.
And also, Ethan, can you fight off someone who comes into your house?
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah.
If they want to take stuff, I'll be like, there's Adam's things. They're worthless. I don't know why he's got a hard on about defending his worthless shit.
He's got a shitty TV. You can take his surfboard.
That's all locked up in the garage. But
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't see any of his items and go, that's something I would want to steal. Like, that's a stealable thing. Like, what are they going to steal? A Bluetooth speaker? Like, what? I don't understand the paranoia. Like, is it when you get older, you're just like, these are my things.
Yeah.
And everyone's out to get them. I was just like thinking, like, just stop making enemies. Like, you just attack everyone all the time.
Yeah.
You're always on the attack. Everyone's your enemy.
Yeah. No, he's always throwing shade.
Yeah.
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 Fucking, what's his name? Guy that just got through Raw.
Yeah, Navin.
Navin, yeah. He's going to come to Adam's house and steal his shit.
Yeah, and so he should.
After he is.
The shit he was talking.
Yeah. So I think he came back shitty and like slammed the door because I like heard him come back in and I just heard something. I was like, oh yeah, so he's home.
Yeah.
So it wasn't really about the door.
No, it's not about the door.
Oh, it's always something deeper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, there, it goes deep with him, don't worry.
Yeah.
What's the relationship with his mother like?
Well, yeah, there's a reason why he didn't move back in with his parents, I'm guessing.
No. Insane. But
we love him.
It is because I did get fucking blackout drunk on Wednesday and annoyed the fuck out of him.
Yeah.
Playing bass guitar.
Maybe he's just worried about you. He looks at you, he's like, Ethan can't fucking defend himself. If someone wants to break in and take his anus, he's fucked.
That's his prized possession, is my
You're anus. Anus.
Must defend the Jew clan.
Yeah.
At all costs. So I got so fucking drunk on Wednesday. Like, I worked. And then got back and I was just like, that was a fucking long day. I'm just going to get on the piss.
Yeah.
And I had like half a bottle of Wild Turkey and then just at one point, I've never been blackout drunk before. Never had like drank to the point where I don't remember the night.
Pussy.
But I barely remember it. And apparently I got laid, but I don't remember that either. Like, my missus, we wake up, she's like, do you remember fucking last night? I'm like, we fucked last night? And she's cracking up like, yeah. And I didn't play the victim. I was just like, was I
good? Well, she didn't get consent, obviously.
No,
so,
no consent.
Georgia, you're in trouble.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, tables turned.
Exactly.
Mm.
I was Uproar. Raped.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, yeah, Georgia is a rapist. Yeah. That can be the name of the episode.
Jesus. So apparently I was much worse, which is a good thing, because it would have been bad if it was like...
If you'd have been amazing.
Yeah.
Like, fuck.
Yeah,
fuck.
She's going to have to keep in a state of drunkenness all the time.
Yeah. All the time.
Yeah. Like, fuck, I'm going to get blackout drunk just to fuck now. God damn it.
And that's how you become an alcoholic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like doing comedy and being drunk and being like, I'm better at it when I'm drunk. Oh, fuck. Now I've got a problem.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Now I need to drink 3 beers every time I go. This is going to get expensive.
Mm-hmm. Or smoking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had 2 sets stoned and both went really well. I had the best set of my life, actually. One of the times high. And I was like, that is dangerous.
Yeah. That was your birthday, wasn't it?
Yeah.
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 That was a good set.
It was a very good set. Fucking, where the fuck is Legacy? He's not back yet. He's not back over here. I know he's still in Perth.
But
he's usually...
Suck him off?
He's,
I want Kyle back.
No, I want...
I saw a dude on the ride in, and he had an afro like fucking
Kyle?
This big.
Did he have the bald spot at the back of the head?
Way bigger, no bald spot. He was like Ball and Kyle, like massive afro. And I wanted to pull up on my moto and just be like, oh, can I get a photo with you? Why? Yeah. Trust me, it's a good bit.
No, I need guests for the podcast.
Oh, you want Kyle?
I want to get Kyle on. He's always a good time. Yeah. Do you know Kyle Legacy?
Yeah, I've met him once.
Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely know the reputation. I've seen him around a few times. Yeah,
he's a fucking legend.
Yeah, no, his stuff's always really good.
Yeah. So, yeah. He's had nights here where the crowd is laughing so fucking hard, the ground is shaking. Like, you can feel the laughter in the ground.
Wow.
It's fucking insane, man. It's a sight to behold. When Kyle Legacy is killing, he's fucking... And then I had to go up and follow that. And I was like, holy fucking shit. We had Cabba. It was like my first pro set here. Like, very first set. I was like super nervous. My second ever paid show. Like, Legacy's just fucking destroying, like, the ground shaking. Cabba's like, you got this, mate. Cabba, ever, like, fucking positive. Like, I love Cabba. Yeah. He's like, you got this, man. And thankfully, I rode the wave, and it went well.
Cabba's a mad cunt.
Yeah.
He was posting things on Facebook the other day. He's got, like, a handful of copper. And he's like, I got this out of the back of a TV I found on the side of the road. Dude, what are you doing? He's like, I got $4 for it. Didn't have to do nothing. Took you half an hour to get it out of the TV camera. What are you talking about? At what point does this just become fucking...
He's on sweatshop wages. Yeah.
But then he's like, I had some old sinks too. Got like a $90 for it. I'm like, yeah, mate, fucking keep it real.
Yeah, he fucking loves it.
I think
he
lives in kind of like a, not a rich area, but like a lot of people are throwing shit out. And he just goes around and fucking picks it up and...
Oh, mate, he's an electric toy car specialist. Mm-hmm. You know, there's like little toddler cars you can get, the electric ones.
Yeah.
Like, eventually most kids leave them out in the rain, they get fucked up and parents throw them out. Cabba fucking rocks up. He's like, oh, sweet. He refurbishes them, rewires them. He fucking suit one up for his kid. He goes, oh, much faster now. He's whack a bigger battery in it.
I met him. He headlined Katoomba Comedy Club one time that I did it, so I met him there and, you know, stayed in contact. Yeah, he's a good guy.
Is that Marty's gig that he runs down there?
No, that is Amanda Gray.
Oh, okay.
She runs Katoomba Comedy Club,
I just always see Marty on it. I thought he was like... But, yeah, he must know Amanda pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
I think he's from that area, like Blue Mountains, or he was. Anyway. Yeah, fucking good dude as well.
Marty, yeah, very good. Tried to get him on once, but we just couldn't fucking make it work.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. He's...
We've got to get Leo on.
Leo McBride.
Yeah, he's hit me up. He wants to do it.
You say, talk to the booker, it's the only thing he's good for?
Yep. I certainly did.
But I do everything. Yeah. Mitch is in charge of the bookings. And you can see how well it was going with how many times I had to change the time for today.
I did like that you actually reached out because I kind of put that out as somewhat of a joke.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it was like Luke and Adam both just like stone-faced. And I was like, yeah, the guests are really enjoying themselves. If you want to come on.
We've had a couple like that where it's just like you're fucking struggling.
Yeah.
You're struggling. Yeah. Yeah.
We're getting better at it, though.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Highlights are doing all right.
Yeah, doing really well.
Yeah. People are listening. Which is crazy. We've obviously got at least one. Yeah. It's the running joke. There's 12 people who listen. I think there's more than 12 people now.
Oh, we're getting like 30.
Yeah, it's fuck
blowing
yeah.
up.
30. That's blowing up. Tell your grandmother. Tell Nana about how to not comedy.
She'll love it.
Ah, she will.
Mitch has got the best Nana jokes.
That's what we can ask. All right, so when you first started out, did you have like a totally fucked joke that you... There was just like the room clearer almost?
Not that I've ever done on stage. I've written some pretty fucked shit that I'm like, oh, that can't... That can't see.
So the thing with black people...
I don't do a... It's sort of like any race stuff because it's just not...
funny?
No, it's just not a part of me. Like I grew up on the northern beaches of Sydney, so it's just sort of white,
yeah,
sort of everywhere. In fact, I grew up in a suburb called Narrowena, which is like known as Little Italy. So it was we're the only sort of like, you know, non-WOG family in Narrowena than the rest sort of Italians. But apart from that, we don't have a lot of. It's not like a, you know, big racially diverse.
We can still do WOG comedy. That's one of the last bastions of racial comedy that you can do.
So I just don't. It doesn't cross my sort of mind. But I definitely think of really fucked, really fucked shit. I realized that I was sort of really deep into this when my brother sort of called me up with some news. Right. So my brother and I, we don't talk often. Like, you know, we still get along, but we don't talk often. I hope he doesn't hear this shit, right? So
we'll quit this and put it.
Thank you.
And so he texts me out of the blue one day and said, oh, can I call you in 10 minutes? And I thought, something big is happening. I think maybe one of the family's dead, and I was hoping it was my aunt, right? Hoped it was her.
Because she's rich, or you hate her, or both?
Both.
Yeah.
Both. She was rich. You know, she's just old and lonely now. Yeah. But anyway, and my wife said, no, I think he's calling to tell you that he and his girlfriend are pregnant. So I was like, all right, we'll sort of see who's right. So he rang me and he said to me, oh, look, we just spent last night in hospital because his girlfriend had a miscarriage. So we were both right. Like when I found myself when I found myself saying it like that, I'm like, oh, I'm really deep in this this comedy stuff. It's like, oh man,
dude, that's a great joke. Yeah, I honestly think you should fucking do that. If you're not doing it already.
Yeah, I haven't done it yet.
Yeah,
Only because I've been doing up the last, you know, month or so. I've just been practicing this raw set. But I'm really careful about who some of these jokes make their way back to, you know.
Fair enough with that one. Like, that's pretty fun,
you know. The good thing is I don't think he'll ever come and see me do comedy, so that's cool. I will sort of give it a try, but I've told a few people and they've sort of, you know, laughed and thought that's really fucked up. So I've written really fucked up stuff. But I won't try this, or I won't try it here. I'll maybe try, you know, you can try some really fucked stuff at something like, you know, Crown Comedy at Lewisham. You can get away with it there.
And they're the people that are going to be like, I see what you're doing there.
You could run it here as well.
But that's like that's like the real shit that is really good comedy, because no one else has had that. Well, people have had miscarriages, but no one's had that exact set of experiences where it's like the whole premise of it. But also you have to be good enough to make that funny. And that's where most people fall down, is they when they're new, they'll be like, I'm going to go tell a miscarriage joke. And then it's just like, oh, I'm terrible at comedy. So, A, the joke sucked, and B, you got the distaste of, like, miscarriage in your mouth after it bombed.
Which
makes it so much worse than if you were just talking about fucking I work at Woolworths or some shit. Like, no one... If that joke bombs, it's like, okay, whatever. No one's too hurt.
I can see that joke killing, though.
Yeah.
And I can see that joke.
I think the reason why that joke works is because the joke itself is not about the miscarriage. It's an ambivalence joke where you're feeling something about the thing that you're not meant to feel anything for.
Yeah, exactly.
In that situation, you're meant to feel sad because of something sad happened.
But
we're feeling like, oh, we're both right. Awesome.
Yeah, you know? That joke will completely shut down the room when you say, oh, it was a miscarriage. The entire crowd will completely go, oh, and you go, but I guess we were both right. And then that'll break the tension, and I guarantee you, the more tension that's built up in a room, the fucking harder the joke hits.
I've been doing that Amish joke, which is sent a lot of tension.
Fucking super high risk, man. I've got this new joke, and I say a really fucking abhorrent line, which is Amish people are fucking children, and then I like, and then I justify the point because it immediately everyone in the crowd either shuts down or like give uncomfortable, and then like I'll explain how the joke works afterwards because I don't want to give away on here. But the crowd just like sort of clams up, And then, like, I'll go at them. And then when I hit them with the punchline, it fucking just, it hits so hard.
Yeah. Because
you've already built that tension. I've got, that's my second joke like that now. My Arnie Bev joke is like that as well.
Yeah, when I say keep something, hearing about this Arnie Bev joke, and I'm like, I want to hear it. When I saw that you were going to be on same night and when I was up here, I thought, hopefully I'll hear the Arnie Bev joke. Yeah. And you didn't do it. I'm like,
yeah,
oh,
it's a long bit. Yeah. It's like a two, three minute bit.
Yeah.
And if you've got 5 minutes, you just can't do it.
Yeah.
So I usually chuck it out there if I get up on stage and I forget. That's my go-to.
It's like your safety blanket.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, I'll just go with that.
Yeah, amount of times. Yeah.
It's good to have a parachute.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got a joke. Something similar happened, and it happened once in this room. It just built up a lot of tension. And it's a joke about how I used to work at Lifeline.
Yeah.
And so I think people heard Lifeline and they got, oh, no, he's going to go there. He's going to make fun about suicide or whatever.
Yeah.
And the whole thing ends up not being about suicide. And in the end, it got a huge laugh. I'm like, that was really cool. Like,
yeah.
I could feel the tension and I felt it break. I'm like, oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the best feeling. And that's like... That's like what you're supposed to do is set that expectation for the crowd where they think it's going one way and then fucking left turn or right turn, whatever. And then it always, like, if you can do it right, it fucking destroys. And they're the funnest jokes to write and perform. Like those high risk
Dave
ones.
Perry, master of the misdirect.
Yeah, it's all his jokes. Everything.
Every single joke is like, I'm taking you this way, now we're going that way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I haven't seen him in a bit. I wonder if he's doing all right.
He's doing shows. I've seen him do shows on Central Coast.
Yeah, okay. It gets to a point where you're just like, fuck, how many more of these dog shit open mics am I going to do?
Yeah.
I'm just fucking getting to that stage. Like, why am I doing this to myself? It's hurting me.
Yeah.
Like I did fucking Cardiff.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude. It was brutal. I ran all new shit. I'm like, I'm not going to do any jokes that I know work or anything. I'm just going to get up there and talk.
Yeah.
Just the crap that I've written down. Like you said, like the dark stuff you write down. I'm like, I'm just going to get up there and spew that out.
Yeah.
Oh, I shouldn't have done that. I should have just stayed home.
Yeah.
And fucking made it better.
Yeah.
And done it somewhere. Oh, it was fucking brutal.
Yeah. That's why I can't justify driving all the way out
to Cardiff.
The
only good thing about that room is because it's such a big space. Like, you can crowd work there, and, like, you have to crowd work to, like, the back of the room type of thing.
Yeah.
Where you've got to yell out at people and get them to interact, like, across a large space.
Yeah.
Which, like, when we were talking about people getting booked for, like, those shows, like, festival shows and things like that, where it's, like, there's a gap between you and the crowd. Not that I'll ever fucking do a festival, but, like, you know, even here, if, like, the front row doesn't fill out, sometimes there's a gap in the front row and you just have to just get over that little hump just to fucking get them. Especially emceeing too. Like a lot of gigs you go to MC and it's like, it's an open mic. No one's dumb enough to sit in the front row.
Mm. Everyone's afraid to sit in the front, you know. Like I've seen it, people like, oh, can I sit at the back? Can I sit here? It's like, no, there's only room at the front. Sit at the front, you know.
Yeah. That's usually how this room fills out. Like, people fill in these, and then at the end, it's like, oh, fuck.
The front's last.
Yeah.
No, I came too late.
Unless you've got people that are a problem, and they're like, we're going to sit up the front and fucking do.
Yeah, that's usually a bad sign, too.
Don't sit up the front, you fucking maniac.
Yeah.
What is your problem? I'm going to make the show better. No, you're not.
Yeah. There's a knack to even asking people to get up the front when we're emceeing every week. It's like, you can't just come up and say, hey, come to the front at the very start of the set and the show. You've got to fucking, like, lubricate them a little bit. You've got to do, like, a tiny little bit of crowd work, tell them what the show is, and then be like, okay, guys, this will be a great show, but everyone's going to move forward.
Yeah.
So
I think once they get the feel that you're not one of those...
attack comics.
Attack comics. They're like, all right, I'll sit at the front because I'm not going to get made fun of.
Yeah.
Because he hasn't been doing it.
Yeah.
Yet, you know, it's like if you're the pussies that are too afraid to go, that's when you're going to get attacked because you're showing your vulnerability. And it's like, I've got to now make a joke about that.
Yeah.
About how you won't do that. If you just confidently sit at the front, answer questions. Don't try and be funny if you get asked questions. Oh, what do you do for a job or anything like that? I've seen people try and out funny.
I'm a fucking gynecologist.
Yeah,
Ethan's got the perfect comeback for that. He's like, there was a dude who called out gynecologist, and you're like, yeah, you look like a fucking huge cunt or something like that.
Oh,
yeah.
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 The other one is I do as little as possible. It's always an old person. What do you do for work? Well, as little as possible. It's like, no, I asked you what you do for work, not how often you fuck your wife.
Yeah.
That always goes.
Yeah. Yeah, I had...
you know what? Since writing that fucking remark, I've never had anyone say it when I've asked them what they do for work. I'm like, fucking typical. Like, I got this fucking bullet ready to kill someone.
I had to... Sorry, I had
no doubt. Sorry, man.
No, you're right.
You thought of it because it happened.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You had nothing to say in the moment. You went home, wrote it down, and then you haven't done it.
But
yet.
It'll happen. Yeah. One day,
I'll do it for you.
It's
man.
Got someone's fucking name on it.
Yeah.
They're gonna cop it.
If you're emceeing and I'm watching, I'll do it just so you can do it. I'll take the bullet for you.
Yeah.
Dude, I had to the Amish joke that I'm working on. I had to write a response in case someone yells out during one of the questions. Yeah. They ask a rhetorical question to the crowd and 99 times out of 100, no one will ever answer.
Mm.
And it's like, I had to write, because I know, what's her face? Who's that little fucking, she's like a little version of me almost. What's her name? Fuck. I can't remember her name now. She loves comedy. She's great. She's done, well, she's been up on stage a few times. Elise.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Elise will fucking heckle. She doesn't give a shit. She'll yell out. So I know exactly when I do that fucking joke in front of her, she's going to yell out, and I've already got the response ready to go. Because I was like, if someone yells out, I'll fucking freak out. So, yeah. It's been fun, though. It's been fun fucking trying to perfect that. Because it's been like a few weeks in a row where I've done it, and it's fucking bombed or it's like derailed. Like, I did it like as a closer at a pro show, and it fucking did not go well. And I was doing really well. And I went up the back. Jam's like, man, you're killing. But then you decided to finish with that.
Yeah.
I was like,
I learned that one recently. That fucking Chinese sweatshop joke that I've been doing. And it is one of those parachute jokes that's like just locked in my head because I like it. So I'm like, hey, I'll go for this.
Yeah.
So I shouldn't be ending on that.
No.
And I learned that at Shrimo's.
Is that the joke where the reading the t-shirt?
Yeah.
I first heard that on the podcast. I was going for a walk around the block. I heard you do that joke and I just laughed my head off right in the middle of the street.
Yeah.
And then you did it at when you hosted Crown last year. I'm like, It's such a great joke. I love it.
I think it needs more. Like, I need to write more on it. Like, flesh it out a bit further, especially if I'm going to do it as a closer. But I don't think it's a closer because it's just like, middle of the set. Like, fuck. You get, and I did it last night and it got like groans. And I was like, that's all right. I can work with groans. Mm. Like, there's people laughing, but there's people like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't find it that offensive.
No.
And I've dropped the Chinese out of it. Now I just say sweatshop because saying Chinese sweatshop is like problematic.
Yeah.
People are like, oh.
But you've still got to do the accent.
No, I don't do that anymore.
Pussy.
No, you can't.
You've got to commit.
You can't.
You're
do
wrong. That. You're wrong. It kills better with the accent.
I've done
I
it with the accent
shit.
And without. The accent is the main thing. Like, you can't end on an accent.
Yeah.
So if I do it middle of the set, I can do the accent.
Yeah.
And I should probably do that and bring it back.
But yeah.
Like, yeah, it's that Louis C.K. bit where he's like, you're not finished.
Yeah, you're not finished.
That's how she said it. Like, you have to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that fucking kills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fucking, dude. Did you see Louis when he came?
No.
Oh, man. Did you get to see him?
I didn't see Louis. Oh, there's so many, big comedians that... here right now, you know, Chappelle.
Yeah.
Here and stuff
Segura,
like that.
Segura, you saw Tom.
Yeah. So Louis, Tom. who else did we see recently? I saw Jim Jefferies as well a little while ago. Dude, like, Louis' next special when it comes out, I think he's released a live stream of his Madison Square Garden.
Yep.
Set, which will be essentially the same as his special.
Mm.
But, dude, just some of the most fucking insane things to say in this day and age. Just, like, abhorrent, fucked up jokes, and they're so funny.
You can say whatever you want, as long as it's funny.
Yeah.
That's the thing. There's no such thing as getting cancelled, really.
No.
The more I look into it, it's like, it's not.
Doesn't.
It's not a thing.
It's like a temporary, like, all right, you just need to... chill.
Yeah, you need to stop jacking off in front of people.
Yeah.
But apart from that...
Like, yeah, yeah,
even
yeah.
Bill Cosby's making a comeback.
Yeah.
He's trying to make a comeback.
Which is insane. Which is insane, because he's a fucking rapist.
Oh, like, I'd go watch him.
Yeah. Like, yeah, only God for the this. Fact that I could say I went and saw fucking Bill Cosby. Yeah. Just to see the look on people's faces. Just like, what?
Don't worry, he didn't give me a drink. It's okay, yeah. It's fine.
Yeah, it's all good. He wasn't at the bar. Like...
How was Segura anyway?
Incredible. Dude, yeah. It's so funny, man. Yeah. He's got like, he does the same thing every comedian who has kids. He's like got material on his kids and stuff, but his kids are fucking insane. So some of the stories he's telling are just like hilarious. Tanya and I will literally still quote like parts of his set to each other just in the kitchen.
Mm.
I won't give it away, but there's a bit where it's like he's talking about his kid and the kid's like, what? What was that? He calls him in the middle of the night. It's like 1 a.m. He's like, the kid's like, what was that? Tom's like, what was what? He's like, that? He's like, well, what's that? He's like, that. He goes, what's that? He's like, what? So this whole interaction with a three-year-old, fucking hilarious. So, yeah, Tanya and I would just be like, walking past, like, what's that? Yeah, he's so funny, man. His opener was pretty good as well. Problem was, we're up in the fucking nosebleeds with the rest of the plebs and, like, sit down, second row from the back.
Isn't the nosebleed the front?
No.
Oh, it's the very back.
Very back.
There you go. I learnt something new today.
Yep.
I'm a fucking idiot.
Yep, no, fair enough. Yeah. Look, if you don't know, you don't know. And, like, guys behind me, like, the opener's there and the bloke's, like, trying to crack jokes and Tanya's just like, you can see Tanya's just shaking her head and I was like,
yeah, maybe I have to live with this dickhead who tries to do this all the time too.
Yeah, yeah. And then she just goes, oh, fuck, shut the fuck up, cunt. Like, just says it.
Oh,
and I'm like,
10.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, fuck me. Because I don't know who these guys are. I don't know what they look like. They could be fucking dudes from Western Sydney who are just like, oh, now we're going to stab your husband because you told me to shut the fuck up. And I remember just looking at him like, Tanya. Stop picking fights for me, will you? Like, what the fuck? She's like, and then the rest of their mates heard her say it, and then they stuck up for her and started telling him to shut the fuck up. So he did it like two more times, and everyone at like the last time were like, shut the fuck up, dude. Like, shut up.
Yeah.
It was, but I ran into a comic there. It was like one of the guys from the scene, just like sat in front of me.
Oh, nice. Like,
fucking out of 10,000 people.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'll small happen. World. Yeah, so Tom Segura was amazing. We're going to see Steve-O next month, I think.
Oh, that'll be good.
Yeah.
Fuck, I kind of want to go.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, fuck's sake. Like, it's just the dumbest shit. Like,
I think it's all stories.
Yeah, yeah. He's not doing really comedy anymore. He's just like, this is the shit you want to see.
Yeah.
And I can't put it out anywhere else, so.
Yeah.
If I can get around this.
Yeah.
It'll be fun.
Yeah, and I think Bam Majer is opening for him now. Bam's out of rehab, so if you follow that fucking the CKY scene and all that shit, the Jackass guys, yeah,
just he should have went out on top. Maybe you should have killed yourself, Bam.
Yeah, maybe you should have been in that car.
Yeah. Ryan done you a favor. It's just sad. He's just turning into Phil.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fucking shit.
Yeah, he's just getting fat.
Yeah.
I've been there. I am there.
You're looking better, man.
Lost some weight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the fucking gut doesn't fold over anymore, which is good. I noticed that this morning. It's back up it's still there, but it's not folding anymore, which is
good.
Which is progress. You know, all those salads are paying off.
You could do 5 minutes on being a fatty easily. 10.
Yeah.
Easily.
Oh, dude, that's like, I've got so much material on being fat. Yeah.
It's so hard to write skinny jokes.
Yeah.
I've been trying.
Yeah.
It is hard.
You just need to make jokes about looking like you're on heroin.
It goes straight to Jewish Holocaust.
Yeah.
No one wants to hear about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Just ask Jared.
Yeah. How'd he go the other night?
At the open mic?
Yeah.
Yeah, bad.
Yeah, I thought so. I thought he would.
I hosted the other week and fuck, I did bad. I was so rusty.
Yeah.
Wasn't great. But I think I'm up for hosting next Tuesday.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
I'm going to fucking do something. Figure it out because it's been bad.
Me Valentine's Day.
I think it's
Day.
Just...
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, perfect.
What a treat.
Easy.
There we go.
Easy. I'm here to get out of fucking my missus.
Yeah. Yeah. She's going to fuck me when I'm passed out.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll do that.
Yeah.
Tell them that story.
Yeah. 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 Work on the consent angle. Perfect. Yeah. Yeah. I could tell you're a little rusty, but you did the main things, which was tell the crowd why they're here and what they're doing and what to do. And
From second half on, I was all right.
Yeah.
It was just the opening. I was a bit fucking...
Yeah. It's always clunky. Like that, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not as bad as the fucking one when I got back from Europe and I was still on Europe time.
Yeah.
I was fucking jet lagged as shit.
Was that me and you?
Yeah. We were trying to MC. I was just like, I'm fucking not really in the building, bro.
Yeah.
Gone.
Yeah.
So tired. Didn't know what the fuck was going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. MCing's fun.
So much fun. It's one of my... It's like when I was doing it all the time, it's like you miss doing sets.
Yeah.
Because you're like, fuck, I've got all this new material and whatever. But it's like, it's awesome having an opportunity to do 20 minutes in a night.
Yeah.
yeah. And it was good for us too, because, I mean, you're over in Europe. So it was like every week I was doing it with different people, and it gave, it gave Bradley a good chance to like start to learn and stuff
Bradley
like
Bishop,
that.
He's fucking killing
it
right now.
Destroying now.
He's got like this charisma about him on stage where it's just like, fuck, if he's there and if he's hosting, you're like, fuck, this is gonna be a good night. And apparently last Tuesday he hosted and it just fucking went off.
Yeah,
so that was so sick.
Yeah, he's quickly turning into like the funniest comedian in Newcastle. He's got this new bit at the moment. I'm not going to give it any, I'll tell you about it afterwards. It fucking levels rooms.
Patreon.
Hey,
Patreon.
Yeah.
We'll do it on the Patreon.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll talk about it on the Patreon. He's fucking, it's just so good. It's like, I saw him do it and I was like, fuck me. Fuck you, cunt. I was like, fuck. God damn it. I wish I wrote that joke.
I've got a goal to do more emceeing this year.
Yeah.
I've done it twice.
Yeah.
Just a goal to just do more. Because I need to sort of, the feedback I've got is you need to sort of seem more natural. Sort of seems like I'm still reciting jokes, and it's like, it's because I've got a poker face, you know? It's really hard.
Yeah.
So then when I'm trying to be more natural, that's when it feels sort of really fake. So I'm like, if I'm up there trying to MC and trying to do the crowd work and stuff like that, hopefully then that comes out more natural.
So. I mean, you're only a year in as well. Like, it's the fact that you've MC'd twice just over a year in is pretty good. Like, and you're good for someone who's only a year in as well.
There was more rooms on in Sydney. Like, you can get way more in. Like, we were fucking dog shit a year in. It's not that much.
Yeah.
Also too, like, I actually come from like a sort of more of an acting background. Like, growing up, I did drama classes all the way through until I was 21. So I've always been very comfortable on stage.
Yeah.
Whereas when a lot of new people come in, they want to do it, but they've never done anything like it before.
Yeah.
They don't have that sort of stage
that was
confidence.
Us. We were just absolutely spastic.
So I sort of feel like, you know, I'm 1 year into comedy, but I've been doing this, you know, getting up on stage since I was 11.
Yeah.
You know, that's the reason why I did stand up, because I wanted more opportunity to get up and talk, and I wasn't getting that anywhere else. And it was during the pandemic. I was thinking to myself, you've got to get more opportunities to do this, because, you know, you're not going to get anywhere else. So I thought to myself, I'm either going to do stand-up comedy or Toastmasters. And Toastmasters just sounds really boring to me, you know.
Yeah, we've lost a comic to Toastmasters.
Yeah, he won Raw. Fucking all things were looking up, and he's just like, I'm going to go.
Did he win Raw?
Yeah.
Damien?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah, he won Raw the first year we started comedy.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. That's mad. Well, that's why we had him on the podcast, because he got through on Raw.
Fuck, man.
Yeah.
He shouldn't have done Toastmasters.
No. No, he fucked up.
Yeah, he fucked up bad.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing that ever stopped me doing stand-up, and I thought about it for ages, because going back, you know, 12, 13 years ago, I had a housemate that was doing stand-up. And the only reason why I didn't is, like, I don't know if I can consistently write jokes. Like, I know I can be funny, but I can't just go up there and go, oh, that's what she said all the time, which is you know, which is sort of what I would do amongst people, and so I just thought, well, you know, writing is all about formula, just learn it. Yeah. So that night I was Googled, went on a deep dive and go, oh, okay, I can try this out.
Yeah. And you start to, when I first started out, I noticed, I was like, I don't know if this is going to be funny or not. I was like, I had no reference to it, like, and didn't understand how to write jokes, and I wasn't really sure. So obviously I sucked. That was the biggest issue. But as you start to get more experience, you can tell what's going to be a good joke.
Yeah.
Like the joke you were telling us before, it's like, I was like, yeah, that's got everything you're after.
Mm. Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you can just tell now.
We're at an hour, so if you want to fucking chuck out anything that you got this week before we... Are we doing a Patreon?
Yeah, let's do it.
If you got time.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Nothing else to do.
We'll talk about the real shit.
Yeah.
Let's hang some crap on people.
Yeah, yeah. If you want to hear us bitch about other comics in the scene and fucking say heinous shit, subscribe to our Patreon. What's the Patreon, Ethan?
How to Not Comedy on Patreon.
Fuck, that's easy.
Yeah.
Wish I knew that before I asked you. I could have just said it. check out our Patreon, Old Mate Bentley on Instagram, Mitch Coyne Comedian on Instagram. I don't really post much, but if you want to come on the show, hit us up.
Where's your bit, you fuck? You got anything new?
Oh, yeah. I was doing the plug. Sorry. Oh, I just fucking go into autopilot. All right, stop attacking me, you cunt.
That's all I've got.
Yeah.
Literally, you got attacked in the comedy chat the other day. I'm like, fucking leave him alone.
Yeah.
It's my job.
Yeah. Yeah. That was, let's talk about that.
No one can bag him but me.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. let's talk about that.
My punching bag.
Yeah.
Stop getting thin too.
Yeah. My bad.
I'm going to have no jokes.
Yeah. So I've got a joke. I used to think when I was a kid, my mum was mean. But since seeing kids as an adult, she's right. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
I came up with an idea for a skit, Mr. Franklin's Academy for Silly Gooses.
Yeah, how high were you when you wrote that?
Super fucking high. And it's just like the academy for people who fuck shit up, like do really dumb stuff.
Sounds like a Monty Python type sketch.
Yeah, it's probably where my head was at. Trying to write bits about my dogs. It's like I've got like a smart, like, really smart, intelligent jock dog. Like, his mum was like a police dog. He's fucking awesome, can like jump. And I've got like another dog who literally forgets how to walk. Like, his fucking back legs don't work properly and shit. So I'm trying to like talk about that. And the last one is like, my wife farts like a lady who's never shit herself. Despite shitting herself like multiple times. Yeah.
Literally on your carpet.
Yeah. I've looked into my wife's eyes while she shit herself. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's
so good she's going to like that when she hears it. Yeah.
I haven't got much. The only thing I had was I did this at Cardiff and it fucking bombed, but I was just like, I'm trying to write a thing about like not just New Year's resolutions, but like when you get that thing in your head of like, I'm a piece of shit, like I need to fucking fix my life and do things better, like I should work out or I should eat healthier. And then you do those things and then you realize that life is still shitty. So you go back to the shitty thing.
Yeah, you might as well enjoy yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think
like that's a fucking common thing that everyone's experienced.
Hmm.
But not selling it as like there's no fucking hope is hard to do.
Yeah.
Because it comes across pretty fucking dark.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh man, how do I sell this fucking premise?
Yeah.
Yeah,
so. It'd be a misdirect or something you could do. There's tricks.
Yeah.
There's always shit you can do.
Yeah.
So you take them down, taking them down that dark road.
Yeah.
And then fucking turning it around or making a good point would probably make that bit.
Yeah. And just being like, it's okay because now I can do the fun shit.
Yeah. If I wasn't a piece of shit, I wouldn't have got ABC or.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other point of it was like everything that I do, because I'm like an addict for everything, is like I get bored of it and then I give it up.
Yeah.
So it's like, I could fucking eat Fruit Loops every day for breakfast, but I'm not scared that it's unhealthy. I'm scared that I'll get bored of it and look for something stronger.
I'm out of Fruit Loops. I guess I'm turning to heroin. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, maybe start, you know, I'm bored of doing Fruit Loops the same way. So I've started crushing up and snorting it.
Yeah.
Stuff like that just to make it different.
Yeah. My missus caught me shelving them.
Yeah. I'm jacking off with the Fruit Loops.
Yeah.
I need to start my day right.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it changes the relationship when someone catches you fucking a cereal box.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Rodney?
Yeah, well, look, literally like half an hour before I left to come here, I was like chatting with a friend of mine, and I was saying to her, you know, I want to try and come up with a bit about how being fat means I'm a minority, you know. And I was coming up with, I don't see enough representation of fat people on TV. Like, I want to see a fat Iron Man, you know, so I feel represented or something like that.
I would describe minorities just in general, but you could describe the minority the same way you could describe the fat person and then turn it around and then do the reveal as a fat person. That might work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it makes it sound like you're talking about, I don't know, black people, whatever. I've said that 3 times this podcast.
You're doing well.
Fucking going to get cancelled. Oh, well. Got to get started before I get cancelled.
You'll be back in 2 weeks.
Yeah, like, fuck. Oh, what are you going to do? Take away our 30 listeners.
just go open for Bill Cosby. You'll be right.
Yeah, perfect.
Do all the black people stuff to him.
Yeah, fuck it. Well, I'll sleep
the
well.
The worst that could happen.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I'll fucking have a good night's sleep. Ooh, la-dee-da.
Yeah. There was this thing happened a few weeks ago as well. I was at the train station, and I was walking behind this chick, and she was talking through her headphones. She's on the phone, but she had a phone out like that, and I could see the name of the person who she was talking to. Yeah. She's like, you know, in her mid-20s, but the name of the person she said was Daddy.
Fuck yeah.
Like, is she talking to her father, her boyfriend, or both? Like,
can't tell those days.
Yeah. No.
It's actually her uncle.
You know? Like, who is she talking to, and why is she calling them Daddy? It's just weird.
Yeah. Yeah, don't ever open that door.
Yeah, no, I saw that. I'm like, I've got to write this down.
Yeah.
It's something to come up.
That's a funny premise. Yeah. Righto. Check out Old Mate Bentley, Mitch Coyne, comedian. You got an Instagram?
Yeah, it's Rodney_Owen Comedy on Instagram.
Sweet. Check out the Patreon. We're going there right now to talk some shit.
All right. Thanks. Bye. Love you.